The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is critical of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Stay assure yourself approved unto God, or workman is not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But this evening's in doctrine resurrection, we'll try to wrap that up. Here this evening, Roman numeral 7, page 8 of our notes, and then have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We can get through this and get into it. So, all right, with our notes before us, the Word of God in regards to its explanation and interpretation behooves each and every one of us to make sure we test the spirits of the communicator. This demands that we're under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that we know and you can ascertain that the communicator is also in the same vein, same spiritual level, same condition in regards to the study and teaching of the truth of Bible doctrine, and be able to ascertain the truth in that manner, isolated, with the SCA isolated and not part of the equation, and therefore to be able to profit and maximize from the study at hand once again this evening. So with that in mind, if you need a rebound, we'll give you opportunities. We start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for all of your promises you've given to mankind, for those who will align up to your word. And we ask once again this evening that you bless us in understanding of these things, in orientation to your word, so we can cling to these things as our true hope and confidence throughout the Christian life, that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to these things in Jesus' name. All right, Roman numeral 7 here picks up the doctrine in regards to the resurrection body itself, what it will look like, its properties, etc. As we saw, first and foremost, the resurrection body of all believers is patterned after the resurrection body of Christ. Romans 8:29, under the doctrine of election and calling, God has predetermined, predestined, if you will, for believers, those who exercise faith in Christ, to be conformed to His image. That acknowledges regards to His person as it exists today in His new resurrected, glorified state, as He sits at the right hand of God in the throne room of heaven right now, and will return in said fashion, in said person, to receive the church to Him at the rapture. So our bodies will be patterned after Him. Obviously, our appearances will continue to be distinct just as they are in time. We'll be able to recognize one another and say, yeah, you look like you used to look, except maybe a little bit better looking. And you don't have all the infirmities associated in regards to the temporal body and blemishes and things of this nature. But you'll be recognizable. Again, probably one of the most classic distinctions between the body of Christ and the body of saints is that Christ bears the honor marks in regards to his hands and his side and feet, his crucifixion, which glorifies him and is evidence of who and what he has stated to be. And that again is a prime example of God taking something that people would otherwise look at as being totally and completely disheartening and corrupt and evil, etc., and turn around and make it one of the most classic distinguishing marks of God's glory for all eternity. So nothing is impossible for God. Understand that. He loves to take the impossible and make things happen. And He wants us as believers to believe in regards to His Word, His promises in this thing, in these things, and to otherwise faith rest our Christian life, knowing that He does make all things happen and occur according to His divine design. So it too is created out of the existing body. We dealt with that in some detail in the doctrine of death, where He will take our existing molecules or atoms of our fleshly body as they may exist at the time of the rapture, whether they're atoms simply floating in the air or a byproduct of the earth in regards to returning to dust, a sophisticated dust, and He will restructure that, putting it into a new spiritual and permanent eternal state in an unbelievable fashion, in a body that far supersedes in regards to his power, abilities, etc., in regards to its existence. So one, people recognized Jesus when He wanted them to, denoting the matter of appearance, indicating the resurrection body has the ability to reflect an appearance not substantially altered from the temporal body, yet it is able to, if you will, disappear. It is able to walk through matter and structure without disturbing the matter, which is something that Superman could not even do. If he came in, we'd have to repair our wall because he would break it up. Jesus Christ would just appear right in the middle of the room just as an angel could. Angels have this ability to appear and disappear like that. So, they recognized who and what he was, but yet if he wanted to hide it from people, cloak himself, veil his appearance in that regards, he also could do that. So too, his resurrection body bore the marks that his physical body had borne, again, the marks of crucifixion. So see, while it is a spiritual body, it is real and tangible, is able to manifest itself in a physical and tangible way, Luke 24:30, as the disciples were able to actually feel and touch him in regards to his body. Mary, when she went to the tomb, could feel him, could touch his robe and his garments that he had on. It felt as real as anybody's garments in time. And he said, no, don't touch me. I have yet to ascend to the third heaven, and I want to go in a pure state in this regards. So, paraphrasing. So, D, it is a body capable in its state of eating and drinking, but does not need nourishment in order to survive. So, if you want to sit down and enjoy a meal, you can enjoy some fluids or whatever, but it's not necessary for the resurrection body to sustain its eternal existence. It is permanent. It is eternal. Luke 24:42 gives you the best of both worlds, if you will. You can consume food and consume whatever food you want, and you won't get fat. And it's not going to do anything. You don't have to worry about any contaminants, things of that nature. It has no adverse effect in regards to the body. 24:42. In regards to when he appeared to the disciples, in this regards, and they were eating, they had fish to eat, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So he could consume the physical. Obviously, the resurrection body is phenomenal in regards to its makeup. Revelation 22:1-2, that as an example of its abilities. We know that during the millennial period, some of the choicest beef, the choicest wine will be served in celebration, the wedding feast ceremony. And you'll be able to enjoy these things, have a palate for it, capacity to enjoy it completely and totally, yet not be directly affected by it otherwise. Revelation 22:1-2, in regards to the tree of life. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of the street. And on either side of the river was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And believers in resurrected body are able to enjoy the fruit, as we know, in that regards. To enjoy its consumption. This body is able, capable of space travel, not needing atmosphere to breathe in order to survive. Acts 1:9, in regards to Christ's ascension. And he's there on the planet, in the atmosphere. He ascends into the clouds and obviously on into the third heaven, going through stellar space. And it does nothing affect his resurrection body adversely at all. So you don't need oxygen in order to survive. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 regards coming from the third, from the throne room to bring the church to him. Again, denoting his capabilities as we saw. It is capable of tremendous speed. And Jesus makes the trip from heaven to our upper atmosphere almost instantaneously. 1 Thessalonians again 4:16-18, of which we have recently went through and looked at that. We're trying to bust, you know, Mach 6. Nothing. It obviously, the resurrection body has dimensional capabilities, transfers of, between dimensions in its capabilities to go from the third heaven to our existence, to our universe, in this regards, instantaneously, essentially. It's a warp speed beyond our imagination. G, it is not subject to time, space, etc. It is capable of materializing and dematerializing at will. And again, the scenario in Luke 24, 30 and 31 and verse 36, where again he appears to the disciples, they're locked up in a room, and he disappears in front of them. And he essentially exits the same way. And therefore, it's not limited to time, space as we know it. Age, it is not subject to decay. The aging process, disease, pain, or death. None of these things will ever again afflict our existence in regards to the body in which our soul, our new body in which our soul is placed into. First Corinthians 15:42-43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Verse 53, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, nothing can ever harm us again. And then Revelation 26, verse 6. In regards to those who are part of the first resurrection, over these, the second death has no power. Death has no power. One of its greatest perks, it is without a sin nature. It is without the STA. And again, 1 Corinthians 15:43-44, in regards to contrast between the natural and the new spiritual body that we have in that respect. J, the individual nature of the resurrection glory that each body will possess varies in magnitude based on spiritual growth and application in time. We dealt with that in the book of Revelation in regards to saints in their new resurrected states. And the distinction between glory of believers is also in 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, where stars differ from star glory. As the brightness is in a clear night where you can see all the stars, some are very bright, and some are extremely dim, but you can still see. And so it will be in regards to the manifestation of the resurrection body, our attire, and how it is effervescent, if you will, or glows, illumines. There will be a distinction in brightness based on what we give as doctrine and time. Roman numeral 8 then finishes up the doctrine here with various observations and applications based on the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of mankind. A, the resurrection of Christ not only indicates God's stamp of approval on His personal work as portrayed through His humanity, it is the beginning of His exaltation as Lord and Christ. Christ in His passion and advent of humility waited upon God to exalt Him. And His resurrection was the beginning of that exaltation Acts 2, 24 and 36. In the presentation of the gospel, as Peter is giving it, and God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death. As he conquered death, he proved it through his own resurrection, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence. From Psalms, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope of a resurrection body like Christ. Because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will your Holy One to undergo decay. In regards to Christ himself, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he is a prophet, knew that God swore to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. It is neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, he resurrected, to which we are all witnesses, Peter and the apostles. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, his exaltation. See, with the resurrection comes his ascension and exaltation. And he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, David's Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. I tried to take out of the picture that he's back. It didn't work. B, in Jesus' resurrection, we have the divine guarantee that all believers' sins have been effectively removed and absolute righteousness, plus R, is theirs by faith. Resurrection is evidence of his success and his work on the cross and his ministry as Messiah and the removal of sins. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Because of our justification is evidence in his resurrection. And then also 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. On the opposite side of the coin, if resurrection had not occurred according to the prophecy, then we would have known, mankind would have known, Jesus failed. God's plan failed, but it did. And obviously, that is the hub from which all of God's plan hinged on. And it's past. It's been fulfilled. How much more so should we go through life in confidence in regards to the success of God and his plan in the angelic conflict? It's not pre-Christ appearing and having that question mark still there, as the Old Testament saints obviously face that. We look back at the reality. The reality is coming. And if he was successful at that point in time in history, then you can sure take it to the bank, the rest of God's plan, it will be successful. So see, it is the believer's guarantee that they will receive a resurrection of life versus a resurrection of judgment. John 5:24-29. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. As God, he always had eternal life. But as the Son, he has eternal life through the power of resurrection. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a Son of Man. He is true to humanity and therefore has a right and privilege of power and authority over all of mankind. He is the Creator. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and shall come forth, those who did the good, faith in Christ, to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil, continued disbelief throughout their life, to a resurrection of judgment. A deed, therefore, is resurrection forms the basis for the believer's confidence in his or her own resurrection. Again, back to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Now, if Christ has proclaimed that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Again, you see the distortion of doctrine early on in the church. People trying to promote their own ideas. Oh, I don't believe that doctrine. No, really. But yet you believe Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and you don't believe in resurrection, the doctrine of resurrection? Illogical, Spock. I guess those are the negative people are the Spocks of this one. But anyway, verse 13, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. The very premise of the doctrine stands on Christ's own resurrection. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. In other words, that makes them false communicators, false teachers, because they said that God did this, if indeed he didn't do it. See? For the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. Etc. So the logic and the argument has attributed to that. Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins, and those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We have hoped in Christ in this life only, where all men most to be pitied. What do we really have to look for? Muhammad, what he can do for you. He was just a man. They don't believe he was God. So he was just a man. So what can he do for you in eternal life? That's the question I would ask. My Christ is resurrected. He lives. He possesses eternal life. He can hand it down to me. He can give it to me if he wants. Can Muhammad do that for you? Hope they don't attack. I'm not making a movie about it, so chill out. Don't worry about that. Keeping up with current events, hopefully. The fact of our future resurrection should encourage us to phase two production of divine good. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, as he ends his dissertation there on resurrection, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, because we can look forward to this. This is reality. And all that's associated with it, our eternal life niche, and hence the importance of our temporal life as it would be applied to that. Be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It will be translated into all that your new eternal body will afford for you. So if the reality of resurrection provides comfort in our testing, including the most serious of testing, death, as the exhortation of 1 Thessalonians 4:18 brought out. Don't grieve like the unbelievers, those who have no hope. We as believers have hope, a confident hope, a confident trust. This is not the end. Yes, I'll see you again. For our fellow believers and unbelievers too, even though it may not be in such a fun way. Then also Revelation 2:10. enough, hear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison in regards to the church of Smyrna during the period of persecution of the church. You may be tested. You had tribulation 10 days. To know the chronological significance of the prophetic realities of these churches. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, the wreath of life. Denoting that eternal life is still there no matter what man may do to your body. Gee, in resurrection we have the promise of being united eternally with those we love who too are in Christ. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and 17. Then resurrection finally in its fullest capacity of both life and judgment. And both sides of the coin is a conclusive and external evidence given and provided for all men that Jesus of Nazareth was exactly who he claimed to be. John 5:18 and following, again, denotes the fact that he did not deny himself. He made this claim to those around him in spite of the fact that he knew that those who disbelieved him would take issue with him and create all kinds of turmoil around him. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Put yourself in, can visually in his shoes. Not only was teaching the truth of doctrine, but he had claimed, hey, I'm God. Walk around this planet. Hey, I'm God. Hello, I'm God. Yeah, you can imagine that. And the Jews in their negative volition took issue with it. They went to kill him. It just rubbed them completely the wrong way. But those who were positive go, yeah, he is. Look at all the evidence. So they believed the scriptures and they took the evidence of all those miracles and put it all together, and they were able to see the truth. So, and then we close with John 11:25, as Jesus said to her, Martha, his friend, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Denoting the very principle and existence of resurrection.